Section 6. The Complexity Objection. The minimal myth hypothesis, developed in Chapter 3, is not simply Jesus began as a mythical person. It has 5 separate components, and as such could possibly have a much lower prior than non-historicity does generally. This is because adding elements to a theory always reduces its prior. For example, if the prior probability of myth is 67%, but the prior probability of a celestial deity is only twice that of a political fiction, as described in Chapter 3, Section 3, and these were the only viable kinds of myth, then the prior probability of the hypothesis I will be testing against historicity would be only 45% versus 22% for political fiction, and not the full 67%, 67% being the converse of the 33% prior probability of historicity. Each additional element could reduce it further. This would not entail historicity is more likely to prevail, since it would remain the case that it's twice as likely that some myth theory is true than that any theory of historicity is, unless the evidence we then examine alters those odds, of course. Having to account for both theories of myth would make our analysis more complicated, but wouldn't make much difference to the conclusion. I explained this years ago in the context of resurrection apologetics. In the last part of the first section of my article, Stephen Davis Gets It Wrong, I said, quote, "In his critique of Martin, Davis suggests that even if, quote, the probability of the falsity of a hypothesis H is 0.6, end quote, in other words, 60%, it would still be rational to believe H if each of the only 4 other hypotheses has a mere 0.15 or 15% probability of being true. This is unsound reasoning. In the scenario he describes, there would be a 60% chance that some one of the other explanations is true, which he labels A, B, C, and D. So it would not be rational to believe H. What would be rational is to conclude that you don't know which explanation is true. For example, if Alexander the Great died and the only options available were all natural causes except H, which was murder, then there would be a 60% chance that Alexander died of natural causes, and therefore it would not be rational to believe he was murdered. Though it would make sense in a gambling scenario to bet on H, that would only be the case if you had to bet or could afford to lose. But history is not gambling. If you get to bet your life on A, B, C, D, or H, or not bet anything at all, in Davis's scenario, the rational choice would be to refrain from betting, since no matter which bet you placed, the odds would always favor your death. In such a case, it would never be rational to say, I believe H will be a winning bet, even if it's the best bet on the table. As far as sound historical argument goes, it would never be rational to say, I believe H is true, when you know H more probably than not is false. End quote. This conclusion is all the more so if we have the option to bet on either H or A, B, C, or D as a unit, as then rejecting H would even be the best bet. In Chapter 3, however, I already argue why the effect of conjoining all 5 elements is so minimal that we can mathematically ignore it. Because even in conjunction, they still occupy nearly all the probability space reserved for myth, so we can treat that theory as equivalent to non-historicity altogether. First, the celestial deity element is, on background evidence alone, at least hundreds of times more likely than any alternative account of the mythical origin of belief in Jesus. Just from the precedence of the mystery religions, in element 13, schizotypal cults, element 15, and Jewish pre-Christian belief in a celestial son of God named Jesus, element 6 and 40, and so on. Anyone who believes otherwise will have to demonstrate an alternative differential and prior probability, and until that happens, I will stick with my estimate. Even just 0.02 of 67% is a mere 0.33%, a mere 1/3%. Too little to make any visible difference to the math, since I will always round up to the nearest whole percentage point, and 33.33% minus 0.33% is still 33%. And recall that we are very much underestimating the prior probability of myth, and the amount by which we are underestimating it is many whole percentage points, more than enough to wash out any fraction of a percent. So we needn't concern ourselves with fractions of a percent at this stage. The same follows for all the other elements, only with even greater force. The evidence we have, and all our background knowledge, for example, elements 15, 16, and 29, render the hallucinatory and or pseudo-hallucinatory origin of Christianity vastly more likely than any non-hallucinatory origin, within the context of all mythic origins. In other words, among all theories of myth, those that don't posit a hallucinatory origin, feigned or actual, are extremely unlikely on prior considerations alone. This may be different among theories of historicity, but here the question is how to divide up the probability space for myth. Similarly, any theory of myth that requires a vastly greater scale of lying or hallucination than the theory I am positing will for that very reason be vastly less probable than it. Finally, that subsequent Christians believed Jesus was historical is an established fact in our background knowledge, and therefore the probability that it is false is virtually zero, and therefore it consumes effectively all the probability space reserved for myth. In other words, any theory of myth that denied this would have an absurdly low prior. It therefore can be ignored as well. In result, alternative theories of myth all collectively, even when summed together, have a prior probability less than a percentage point and therefore can be ignored, unless the evidence very strongly and clearly supported one of them. But if it did, it would already have become the mainstream view by now. That leaves the remainder of the probability space, the whole 67%, occupied by the minimal theory I outline in Chapter 3, which I will test against historicity for the remainder of this book.